Excellent. All right, folks, we are now on to our next presentation, The Ethics of Open Source, A Critical Reflection. Don Goodman Wilson, thank you for being here, Don.
Thank you. Is it, the mic sounds on, yeah? Is the microphone on? Excellent. All right. Hi, my name is Don Goodman Wilson. I've got this lovely controversial title. Is it not on? Is this better? Okay, this is going to be fun because I like to gesticulate. And I don't know how to just turn this off, right?
The mic was working before, so perhaps if we...
That's fine. I'll just do this. My name is Don Goodman Wilson. I used to do philosophy. I also used to do computer programming type things. I used to do community. Now I have a consultancy. It's lovely. And I want to talk about some news items that have come up in just the past couple of weeks. Just 2 days ago, news about a firm called Practice Fusion broke. Has anybody heard about that one? Practice Fusion was a software for doctors to help them diagnose medical conditions that also suggested opioids far more frequently than necessary at the request of the manufacturer of the opioids. The U.S. Air Force has a new game you can play online where you can train to be a drone pilot and practice killing people, and if you enjoy it, they're happy to hire you because it's a recruiting tool. News broke about Clearview, New York Times, about 2 weeks ago, a company that uses facial recognition technology to identify people from pictures that they've posted to their public news feeds, Twitter, and so forth. It's apparently surprisingly effective, not only identifying the person, but showing where they are on Twitter and Venmo and other tools like this. And although I can't prove it about Clearview, we can infer it about the rest. These are all powered by open source software, which is a little scary. And I think over the past 6 months, there's been an increased awareness that open source software is helping to fuel injustice in the world. What's particularly interesting about these examples is it's not just us who create the software who are impacted by this. It's not just those who are consuming and using the software that are impacted. It is actually disproportionately people that none of us have any relationship with whatsoever. Who are being impacted by this, the people who are being terrorized by the U.S. Air Force, the people who are being prescribed opioids when they don't need them, the people who would rather not have their privacy violated using the software that we create. There's been a number of attempts at addressing this sort of thing recently. This is from the Hippocratic License by Coraline at MK, which essentially takes an MIT-style license and adds this no-harm clause to it, that the software may not be used in activities that violate human rights as defined by the United Nations. And I think experiments like this are laudable, right? I think the time is right for us to start thinking about these sorts of experimentations. But the response from the open source community at large has not been very positive. So we see things like licenses should not be political. It's not open source. It's not, probably. Like, I'm willing to accept that as a claim, but this is also not an argument, right? This is called begging the question. I really want to dig into this in this talk. Why is the response so frequently, it's not open source? And why does this claim carry so much weight in our community? Because it does. Even the OSI themselves, right, they weighed in on this. I removed the slide here because I've only got 20 minutes, and I sort of have to power through the argument that I want to make. But the OSI has been quite clear. No, this is not